Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Yes, thank you. One of the most neglected words in our world today. One so often forgotten and sometimes hard to say. But it's just sadly missing in so many communities today. But real thanks is more than just the word thank you or thanks. Real thanks should have a feeling of heartfelt gratitude and thanksgiving with meaning. Giving thanks should be one of the foundation stones of our everyday lives. Psalm 107, verse 1 tells us, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever." So often we fail to give God thanks for his many blessings. We ask God for help. He gives us help, but we fail to say thank you. A man drove into a busy shopping centre car park one day, drove around several times looking for somewhere to park. In the end, he stopped and he sent an arrow prayer up to God and he said, "Please, Lord, help me find a parking spot." That very second, 30 metres up, a car backed out. The chappie sent up another arrow message. "Don't worry, Lord, I found one." Yes, too often we forget to thank God for answered prayers. The children of Israel did not remember being delivered from slavery. They did not remember being set free. They soon forgot what God had done for them. And Psalm 78 and verses 10 to 17 reminds us of this story. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and he led them through. He made the waters stand up like a wall and he guided them with a cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas, and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him. rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. I feel today we have the same problem in the world, a very similar problem. People today have forgotten the great sacrifice that Jesus made. People have forgotten what the risen Jesus really means. People today are too tied up with their own worries, selfish desires, problems, and ambitions. A person who is truly thankful, I believe, is far more understanding. A person who is truly thankful is more forgiving. A person who is truly thankful is more likely to accept an apology. A person who is truly thankful, I believe, is more caring. A person who is truly thankful is more likely to spread the good news of Jesus. If you are thankful for what you have, you will end up having more. If you concentrate on what you do not have, you will never have enough. The magic of a thankful spirit is that it has the power to replace anger with love. A thankful spirit has the power to replace resentment with happiness, to replace fear with faith, to replace worry with peace, and it has the power to replace self-concerns with the needs of others. If you are feeling down today, worried or concerned, unhappy with some problems in your life, stop and reflect on the wonderful things and wonderful people who are around about you. By having a truly thankful heart, you will be able to move on in a more productive way. Thessalonians in chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, has these words: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The 10 lepers we heard about this morning had a major problem. When you really think about it, a shocking disease, a major, major problem. They came to Jesus. They asked for help. They received help, but only one gave thanks. Back in the 1600s, a little town in Germany by the name of Oberammergau, had a major problem. They came to God, they asked for help, they received help, and now they continually give thanks for the help they received 400 years ago. And I want to share with you this morning a little bit about this story of Oberammergau. It's a wonderful story, I believe. This little town is in Germany in the Bavarian Alps. It's high up in the mountains, a little town of about 5,000 or 6,000 people. It's a quaint little town, the quaintest little town you'd ever see. Highly decorated homes, almost a fairy tale type story to attach to the whole thing. The streets are narrow. Footpaths are so narrow, if you're walking along, someone's coming the other way, you've got to step off. Dozens of souvenir shops. It's a very proud well-kept little town. Of course, the buildings are very old. When Helen and I were there in 2010, we stayed in a hotel that was built in the 1600s. It's a very popular skiing place in the wintertime. In the summertime, it's a major attraction for tourists because of its wood modelling and crafting exhibitions. But in 1633, the bubonic plague, or the Black Death, threatened the town. Already, thousands upon thousands of Germans had died. It was sweeping through the countryside. And the people of this little town thought, we're going to be next. But just let me give you a few figures about this terrible disease, this bubonic plague or the Black Death. In the 14th century, when the Black Death really peaked, approximately 35 to 50% of all Europeans died. Just think about that, 35 to 50% of the population of Europe. Places like England and Wales and Italy and Germany suffered severely. Even China was reporting 7,500 deaths per day. Asia and Africa badly affected. If you contacted the disease, you would be dead within 2 to 6 days. It's hard to describe the disease. What really happened was that the flesh died on the bones, and you walked around for a couple of days with this dead flesh. One of the major problems at the time was keeping up to the burials, which you can well imagine, with these decaying bodies. This disease struck Europe 6 times over a couple of centuries. And over the centuries, 200 million people died from this shocking disease. So in 1633, this little town of Oberammergau was at the survival crossroads. War, famine, and now the Black Death. So the people decided one way of saving their little town was to isolate the town completely. No one would be allowed in and no one would be allowed out. That worked well for a little while, until one night a man who had been away working snuck back in to be with his family. Within 3 or 4 days, he was dead. A few days later, his whole family were dead. And a few days after that, 100 people in the village were dead. So to stop the spread of this terrible disease and famine, the people decided they only had one avenue left, and that was to go to God and ask for guidance and direction. So those who were able, there was only about 700 people in the left that were able to walk and meet at the church. They met at the local church where they prayed to God and they vowed to God that if that little town was saved, they would perform the Passion Play every 10 years. They would perform that play as an act of worship and thanksgiving. From that day on, not one person died in that little town. So in 1634, the very next year, the first Passion Play was held. It was held at the church in the cemetery where these 100 people had been buried. 6 years later, in 1640, they performed it again, probably to bring the date up to an even number. It was held in the cemetery for 200 years. And then it started to become rather popular around the world. People wanted to come to see this Passion Play. And so they moved out into the streets. And for many, many years, the Passion Play was conducted up the streets of Oberammergau. Today, the play is held in a modern theatre, seating 5,000 people. The theatre is covered. The stage is out in the open up the front. The stage itself is 40 metres wide. It's here to the other side of the street. The backdrop of the scenery back there, the ancient buildings of Jesus' time. Beyond that, the German hills, the Bavarian Alps. It's a magnificent setup. When you think about the logistics of it all, how 5,000 people go into that auditorium, that theatre, almost every night of the week. In the morning, 5,000 people have got to arrive at this little town. They go to the play in the afternoon, and most of them are bussed out that night. If you're lucky enough, you might be able to stay in the town. But just imagine 5,000 people coming in the morning. Next morning, they've all got to be gone because there's another 5,000 coming in. The Passion Play is a play depicting the last week of Jesus' life on earth before his crucifixion and the resurrection. The opening scene, Jesus comes riding in, peering sort of from the Alps and through this old town, riding on a donkey with people waving branches and coats. There are sheep, there are horses, there are doves, there are chickens, there are camels. And at the opening scene, 500 people and animals and whatever are on the stage at the one time to start the play. And the play goes for 5 hours. 2.5 hours first up with a 3-hour break for tea. It starts again in the afternoon and goes for another 2.5 hours. Some very moving scenes, so real. The Last Supper, the punishment that Jesus received. The crucifixion, ever, ever so real. And then to watch Nicodemus and Joseph from Arimathea lower Jesus down ever so gently from that massive cross, it's something you'll never forget. Wrapped his body up and placed him in a tomb. That's just a quick wrap-up of this little town of Oberammergau and the Passion Play. And they go together so much. If you said you were going to Oberammergau, there's a very big chance you'd be going to the Passion Play. If you're going to the Passion Play, you'd be going to Oberammergau. They sort of run together. All in all, 2,500 people from this little town of 6,000 people take part in this presentation. That's including 500 children. There's a choir of 120 singers, all dressed in white, across that 40-metre stage. There's very strong competition for all the leading parts, and many parts remain within families. Each speaking part has two actors, and all actors must be born in Oberammergau or have lived there for 20 years and be of high moral standard. And the actors begin growing their beards and their hair Ash Wednesday the year before. One actor in the episode that we saw appeared in his mother's arms 20 years prior to that as a baby. All the actors are local. There are no Hollywood stars. In the show that we saw, Jesus was the local psychologist. Mary was a flight attendant. Pontius Pilate, he was a hotel innkeeper. And the joke around town was, one of the most hygienic places you'd ever find, because he was all the time washing his hands. Herod, would you believe, he was a local dentist. The play runs from mid-May to the end of October, 4 to 5 nights per week, 110 performances in all, with 5,000 people there every time. Over 500,000 people travel from all over the world to see this play. That's the quick story about this little town, little German town, almost extinct, almost wiped out 400 years ago. A real example of what God can do. A reminder too that he pours out his love and his grace to those who trust and honour him. By giving thanks, this little town raises millions and millions of dollars for the German economy. We were told in one of our little stories over there that even Hitler attended back in, I guess, 1940. It must have been, or maybe before that even. Unfortunately, Hitler didn't receive the full message, but he was there anyway. The final scene of this big play, Jesus standing in the middle of the stage, the risen Jesus in the middle of the stage, in brilliant white, glowing in white. By giving thanks, the people of Omer and Magau are sharing and spreading the good news of a saviour for the world. We too need a thankful heart and an attitude of gratitude if we are going to be true followers of Jesus. You know, when you meet people who are angry or down, very seldom do you hear any of them giving thanks for all that is around about them. If we are focused on self, that will get in the way of us acknowledging God and giving him thanks. I'd like to put out a little challenge to each of you this week. As you start each day, start with these well-known words. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And as you go about your daily chores, give thanks continuously. To your farmers out there, myself included, don't focus on the fences have been washed out in recent wet times. Don't focus on the tractor's been bogged up the paddock for 2 weeks. Give thanks for the green paddocks, the full dams, the sheep feed that's there. For others that work in different occupations, don't focus on the workload or the difficulties. Give thanks for the job that you have and the people who are around about you. For the housewife, housekeeper, don't focus on the dirty floor, the linen basket overflowing, the unmade beds, the untidy cupboards. Be thankful for the home that you have and all that is in it. But above all, folks, above all, give thanks for the risen Christ. Give thanks for the gifts of the cross, the gifts of love and peace, forgiveness, purpose and plan, and the gift of hope, a real hope of a life eternal. Let me close this morning with two verses from our opening Bible reading, Psalm 100. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with thanksgiving, I'm sorry, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.